How do you heal as a highly sensitive person and a child of divorce? This is a topic I'm very passionate about, and I'm glad to share it with you on today's episode of Heart in a Drawer, the podcast for adult children of divorce. I'm your host, Sarah Gehringer, and I'm glad to be with you again this week. If you're new here, welcome. And if you have returned again, I'm so glad that you're here. Before we get started, just want to tell you a couple things. I'm going to have a lot of extra resources for you listed in the show notes today, so make sure that you go there and take advantage of those extra resources. And remember while you're there that you can request a prayer from me or you can donate to my rewards program and you get an exclusive teaching and printable from me each month if you choose to do that. So let's get started on this conversation about being a highly sensitive person. So I don't know if you are highly sensitive, or perhaps one of your family members is, perhaps one of your children is, but I think that understanding this concept can literally revolutionize your view of how things affected you or affected other people in your family. So I didn't really consider myself a highly sensitive person until I read this book by Susan Cain. It's called Quiet. It has sold millions of copies for very good reason. It's really about being an introvert, but the part of this book that really changed my life is about being introverted and a highly sensitive person. So I'd like to read an excerpt from you, but first I want to tell you the areas in which I've experienced high sensitivity. So I'm not only highly sensitive emotionally, but I am highly sensitive in several of my senses. One is visually. So I'm sensitive to light exposure, more sensitive than the average person. I'm also more sensitive in touch. So, for example, if there's a ceiling fan blowing on me after a while, it irritates my skin. And I know that might sound crazy to you if you're not a sensitive person, but it literally is a feeling that annoys me because it's too stimulating. So I can also be very sound sensitive. So I can't really tune noises out like other people can. And I'm very, very sensitive to too much sound around me. It really causes me to shut down or even feel angry if I'm overstimulated by too much sound. So I have to write and work in a completely quiet environment. Now, I wish I had known more of that when I was a child. I think I knew that about myself, but I didn't feel understood by many people, certainly not most of my family, who I don't think are highly sensitive people. Except my great grandma, who had a profound impact on my life and my faith. I remember as much as she loved family gatherings, sometimes she would retreat to her own room or she'd even start crying. And I never understood that as a kid, but now that I look back, I bet that I get some of my high sensitivity from her, and what a gift that I've learned to appreciate it as instead of a burden. But if you're a highly sensitive person among other people who aren't like you, it's very likely that you're going to get misunderstood and perhaps even mistreated because of it. And I understand that challenge myself. But again, I've learned to appreciate it because it makes me more empathetic toward other people. I think it heightens my awareness of situations where other people are missing details and I'm picking up on them. I think it makes me a better artist, a better writer. It makes my writing more interesting to read. That's what people tell me anyway, because I put so much detail in there. So I'm grateful for those gifts. But when I was a teenager, when I was a young adult, it was difficult because I didn't feel like I fit in. And maybe that's your experience. Maybe it's your child's experience, or maybe you're thinking of someone in your family like this. So how does that affect us as children of divorce? Well, I think that highly sensitive children or young adults, whatever age you are when your parents get divorced, the highs are higher and the lows are lower. So you're going to feel things on a more substantial level than someone who doesn't have high sensitivity. And I think we need to work through that maybe in a different way, maybe take longer to grieve, maybe avail ourselves to more resources, to read more books, to spend more time in counseling than people who aren't on the HSP scale. So like I said, I'm going to leave links in the show notes to several resources, websites and books and other quizzes you can take to test your high sensitivity. And that can help you understand not only yourself, but perhaps your spouse, other family members, and even your children. So the part of this book, and I highly, highly recommend this to you if you are introverted, because it will affirm you and help you understand things about yourself that you never really could put into words before. But the part that I want to read to you is about high sensitivity. This is a little bit of a clinical format, but it's so smart and it's so informative. I'm going to read a portion of it to you. So she says, the upsides of the high reactive temperament have been documented in an exciting research that scientists are only now beginning to pull together. One of the most interesting findings comes from the world of rhesus monkeys, a species that shares about 95% of its DNA with humans and has elaborate social structures that resemble our own. In those monkeys, as well as in humans, a gene known as the serotonin transporter, SERT gene, helps to regulate the processing of serotonin, a neurotransmitter that affects mood. A particular variation, or allele, of this gene, sometimes referred to as the short allele, is thought to be associated with high reactivity and introversion, as well as a heightened risk of depression in humans who have had difficult lives. Now, I'm interpreting this as high sensitivity. What she's calling high reactivity, I'm referring to as high sensitivity. She says, when baby monkeys with a similar allele were subjected to stress, in one experiment, they were taken from their mothers and raised as orphans, they processed serotonin less efficiently, which is a risk factor for depression and anxiety, than monkeys with the long allele who endured similar privations. But young monkeys with the same risky genetic profile who were raised by nurturing mothers did as well or better than their long allele brethren, even those raised in similarly secure environments. They did better at key social tasks like finding playmates, building alliances, and handling conflicts. They often became leaders of their troops. They also process serotonin more efficiently. So it says, Stephen Suomi, the scientist who conducted these studies, has speculated that these high reactive monkeys owed their success to the enormous amounts of time they spent watching rather than participating in the group, absorbing on a deep level the laws of social dynamics. And it says in parentheses, this is a hypothesis that might ring true to parents whose high reactive children hover observantly on the edges of their peer group, sometimes for weeks or months before edging successfully inside. So just a little bit more of this. It says, studies in humans have found that adolescent girls with the short allele of the SIRT gene are 20% more likely to be depressed than long allele girls when exposed to stressful family environments, but 25% less likely to be depressed when raised in stable homes. And it says similarly, short allele adults have been shown to have more anxiety in the evening than others when they've had stressful days, but less anxiety on calm days. So it goes on with more examples. But what I'm gathering from this that's pertinent for our discussion is, if you are a highly sensitive person, you're genetically coded to be so. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? So you're at a disadvantage having been raised in a stressful environment. You know, the monkeys were suffering from fear of abandonment, probably, just like us when they were raised away from their mothers, right? But the hope is that the ones who had nurturing mothers did as well or even better than the people that weren't genetically predisposed to high reactivity and therefore depression and anxiety. So what I take from this is basically this verse that has helped me a lot. It's actually two verses in Psalm 139. And when I meditate on this, it gives me hope and it centers me on God's truth. So this is from Psalm 139, 13 and 14 from NIV. David writes, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." So I think that there's a plan and a purpose that God designed in us as highly sensitive people, putting us in a family that he knew before we were born that was going to split up and it wouldn't be the best environment for us. I think that he allowed that to happen because he knows that we are going to observe. We are going to make different choices based on our observations, and we can have the hope of becoming the parents that nurture other highly sensitive children in a better environment than the one in which we were raised. That's where I gain the hope from this study and from this book. And I've thought about it and thought about it. I've cried over it because I thought, God, if you knew that, why did you make me this way? You know, why did you put me in an environment that like that? And I think that I've come to terms with the fact that God wanted me to pay it forward to my children, but also to you on this podcast. You know, it's my goal to affirm your hurts and affirm all the hard things that you've gone through, but also point you toward the hope that we can find in what God has for us instead of wallowing in the fact that we weren't raised in the best environment for our genetic makeup, right? We can focus on what we can do with our natural wiring to be more intentional about our lives now. So that's where I'd like you to focus. And this week's printable is on those two verses in Psalm 139. So make sure that you get that so you can start hiding that in your heart and mind whenever you feel doubt about your nature as a highly sensitive person. So let me just close in prayer today. And it's been my honor to kind of just scratch the surface of this important topic and make sure that you go check out all those other resources that I'm going to list in the show notes. Father God, we just praise you for masterfully designing each one of us, Lord, whether it's the one listening who's the highly sensitive person or someone in their family that they know or perhaps one of their children, I pray that this podcast today opens a door to greater understanding. And I pray that it helps them be more intentional about how they see themselves and how they treat other people who are highly sensitive. I pray that you would bless them for their ability and their willingness to understand and grow in this area. And I just pray your perfect peace would rest upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining me. And next time we'll look at another factor of personal growth on our journey of healing as adult children of divorce. God's blessings to you. Bye-bye.